If you'll turn with me to Lord's Day number 35, and questions 96, 97, and 98. So we're considering the second commandment, which has to do with how we are to honor and worship our Lord. Question 96. What does God require in the second commandment? That we in no way make any image of God, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded us in his word. 97. May we not make any image at all? God may not and cannot be imaged in any way. As for creatures, though they may indeed be imaged, yet God forbids the making or keeping of any likeness of them, either to worship them or to serve God by them. Question 98. But may not pictures be tolerated in churches as books for the people? No, for we should not be wiser than God, who will not have his people taught by dumb idols, but by the lively preaching of his word. There's a lot of scriptures there that back these things up. So we're looking at the second commandment. Again, we are reminded that the Ten Commandments, when given, were given to a redeemed people. First commandment begins with, I am the Lord your God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And so, therefore, this is the one that you are to worship. And the second commandment is, and this is how you are to please me. And so one of the challenges that we have, I think, is that we have a tendency to say, well, I want to worship God my way. And I've heard different people say, well, this doesn't feel, I don't feel the spirit here. Or I like these kind of songs, and I don't like those kind of songs, and I like this kind of instrument, and I don't like that kind of instrument. Do you hear the operative word in there? I. And so God reminds us in this commandment, it's not about us, ultimately. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not what we like. It's not what feels good to us. We are servants of the sovereign Lord, and we have been redeemed and the privilege of approaching him. We have an opportunity to do something that we can't do here on earth with any other authority like the president or kings or so, to have access, immediate access in the presence of the King of Kings. And he has accomplished that, and he's opened that to us. But yet, we are to approach him the way that pleases him, not ourselves. I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus taught about the celebration of a wedding, and guests were invited into the wedding, and yet one individual in particular came and did not put on the wedding garment that was provided at the door, but stood in his own garment. And when the leader, the one who celebrated that wedding, came and looked at all the guests and saw that this one did not follow the rules, did not abide, did not honor the host with that garment, he was cast out. He was removed from that assembly. And so we are to be reminded, we need to remember that we are called to worship him his way. But also remember that that worship includes day-to-day living. All that we have and all that we are is set apart for him. We are holy. And so we are to be reminded in this passage that we are not to imagine, notice that statement, that we in no way make any image of God. And although the focus in the commandment is on physically making and shaping material, I would also include the mind. How many of us are guilty of creating a God after our own imagination, of manipulating God after our own imagination, of playing God after our own imagination? If you stop and you think about Adam and Eve in the garden, isn't that what the temptation initially came, was to imagine something other than what God had said? Has God really said this? Or and started getting that imagination going. You will be like God, determining for yourself what is good and what is evil. So we are not to do that. We are to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. How do we know about God? Well, He has revealed Himself in His Word. We study His Word to know Him. I think that's why half the Bible is narrative, is story, is an account of God interacting with other people. And one of the reasons for that is what? Because of His relationship with us. This is how He relates to human beings, sinful human beings, redeemed of the Lord, etc. This is how He responds. This is how what He expects of us. And this is what we are to do. And so we are, notice it says, not to make, imagine this image, or to worship Him in any other way than He has commanded us in His Word. And so we come and we gathered and we worship, we serve Him, because He loves us and we respond in thankfulness, but we do it in a way that is pleasing to Him. Secondly, the question then arises, well, what about artists? Can artists draw creatures? Can artists execute that gifts that God has given them? And the answer is no. They have the ability to exercise their gifts. If you go to the tabernacle, if you were to go to the temple in the time of Solomon or so, you see beautiful artwork. The use of these various building materials and the carvings and all beauty. Walking into a room, imagine walking into a room that is gold all around. The light shining off that gold. The beauty of the tabernacle and especially of the temple, as well as even the clothing of the high priest and the crown, their holiness unto the Lord, and just all that he wore. This was done artistically. This was beautiful. And even also, if you just think of creation in general, God is the great artist, isn't he? Every time you open your eyes, you behold the beauty of the Lord. As one person, I think it was Calvin, has said, we dwell in the theater of His glory. Yeah, so when we open our eyes, or when you take a breath, or when you inhale a smell, the ability to enjoy those smells is a gift from God. That is an artistic expression of His, and we have the ability to enjoy that. And so God is the great artist, and God encourages that. But we must be careful in the process of using those things, as it says, to use them in a way of, it says, God forbids in making or keeping any likeness of them, either to worship them or to worship God by them. So, can you serve something that you created? You can, but you shouldn't. Is it a temptation? Well, look what I wrought. Look what I created. Look at all this labor I put into this project. And look what, well, there's an element of joy and there's and satisfaction in that. But can it become an idol? Can it become something that the focus is on me? I'm reminded of Alexander Graham Bell. Was it he that the first message that was sent was, look at what God wrought, that he gave honor and glory to God, even though he was the one that developed this method of transcommunication. But his first statement was to give glory to God. Shouldn't that be ours as well? Whatever God has given to us, it is because of him that we live and move and have our being. So God says, you have the freedom to do so, but do so in a way that would please me. Well, what about pictures? Should pictures be tolerated in the churches as books for the people? Again, we have to be reminded at this time in many of the churches, at the time, the Roman Catholic churches, many people didn't read, couldn't read, and you were not encouraged, or you didn't have Bibles and you couldn't read them if you had them. And you were not encouraged to do so. So the Reformation was a time where the Bible was translated into the common language, and because of the printing press, which had been recently invented, people were able to afford and have Bibles and were encouraged to read them. And so the danger was, well, they don't have their Bibles, they're illiterate, so we're going to give them these pictures, and that's good enough. But the question is that how God has communicated himself primarily? And the answer is no. He has given us his word. I'm amazed sometimes as I'm reading in the book of Psalms what he says about his own word. He says that he exalts his word above his very person and work, his name. We have been given that precious communication. Recently, on Wednesday evenings, we were looking at Islam. And one of the aspects of Islam is they believe in a God who is so transcendent that he cannot interact with us. He doesn't interact with us. And though they have a book, that book is separated from him and is eternal in the heavens, almost like a second entity. No, we have a book, but the book is the revelation of a person. And God himself has identified, Jesus is identified what? As the Word of God. And so God has delighted desires to communicate through the living preaching of his holy word. And we have a privilege of being able to do that, to hear that today, we pray. So we are blessed to be a blessing, and that includes God. We are blessed to bless the Lord. Amen.